Hello everybody and welcome again to BitNote. We play video game music, talk about the games, and just have a fun time overall. Hope you enjoy. So, there's a saying that if you look deeply enough into a piece of art, you'll see part of the creator. And that's true of pretty much all artistic medium, be it painting, music, TV, and of course video games. And to be honest, even from the very earliest video games, that's what I love to do. I love looking at the game and just feeling not just that I was connected with this crazy new world or a whole host of like cool mechanics and everything, but I was connecting with someone else, some person who just conceived this all, some element of the human being which they'd imbued into this piece of video game stuff. And especially in the earlier days of video games, there was a lot of this stuff. Video games were usually produced by one or two people in bedrooms, something that's been resurged a bit with indie games, of course. And the genres weren't nailed down. Platforming gaming, for example, was still in its early stages of development, and you could still take crazy and interesting versions or takes in various genres and not almost feel like you're doing anything revolutionary because everyone else is trying to do something crazy spin on things too. But to get back to the original point, it's just when I look into these things, I just try to see a bit more of the creator and what they invested and what they imagined and what they love about it. And unfortunately, it's something that a lot of modern games don't have, whether it's due to huge budgets making it unoriginal or the fact that most of the common gameplay genres have become so standardized that it's rare for people to even create anything related to these genres without falling into the established conventions. Whether that's good or bad is another thing, because sometimes you can polish something that's been done several times before, but I'm going ahead of myself. But one thing I do love, just to get back on the point, is that whether in any media someone comes out and instead of saying let's make a game like this or let's make a movie like this, says I love this, let's make a game about it, or I love this, let's make a movie about it. Where instead of the creative process starting by trying to create a piece of art, the creative process starts by someone saying, there is this thing that means a lot to me and I want to go out there and express it. And that's what I love, whether it's in video games or movies, because suddenly you're dealing with a person. You're dealing with a person trying to express something, something that's true to themselves or something that they mean or something that means a lot to them. And whether it comes across or not, you can always feel for that person. You can say, yeah, maybe I'm not completely getting where you're coming from, but I really understand it, or I can sense the love and the enthusiasm you're putting into this, and it's just great when something does something. Well, there's a game that I'm going to be talking about this show that just does just that, and do you know what the subject of that love is? Rock music. Yes, rock music. It's a genre of music that I really don't have that much familiarity with, though certainly the game does a heck of a lot to rectify it in this space of time. But before I go blathering on about this sort of music, let me just play some opening track from the game just so you can get a sense and get into the mood of everything. The name of that track was A Roadie Was Born. It was from the video game Brutal Legend by Double Fine Productions, and the music you just heard was composed by Peter McConnell. And by the way, Brutal Legend, it has an Ulmat over the U. It's kind of a German accent sign. It's kind of meant to be parodying a lot of the heavy metal bands that have, you know, pointless accents over their words. But anyway, so essentially, this is the game Brutal Legend. It is the brainchild of Tim Schafer. He is one of the few people in the gaming industry these days where it's like a single personality can still forge ahead with the force of a game. David Cage, of course, is one of the few other examples of that. David Cage, of course, made Fahrenheit and Heavy Rain, and he had a very strong vision about filmmaking and trying to get cinematic and sort of Hollywood thriller inspirations, and he wanted to do that. And Tim Schafer is similar, except he goes in a completely different direction. He was back there creating the original games like Monkey Island in collaboration with Ron Gilbert and David Grossman, and he made a lot of other classic things like Grim Fandango. And with Brutal Legend, he is going full on into his passion of heavy metal music. And that's pretty much what shapes the entire game and what makes the game so great, because it's an entire creation of some, like, a love letter to the heavy metal genre. And it certainly doesn't hold back in that regard. The game starts with a roadie. As you can see, it's the roadie that's mentioned in the title of the last song. And his name is Eddie Riggs. He is fully into heavy metal and he is working as a roadie. Basically, a roadie is some guy who helps out backstage at a heavy metal concert. And it sounds kind of like menial, but a lot of stuff is involved. Literally, people could die if a roadie doesn't do his job correctly, because he's got to move stuff around, set things up, keep everything going well. And you even hear a little bit from Eddie Riggs' own philosophy that the roadie's job is not to be seen. It's all about making someone else look good. And so that's what he's doing at the beginning of the concert. There's a concert going on. There's a performance, heavy metal. And just as the band is drumming up, it turns out that the heavy metal performers are actually just teenagers who are doing a very tweenish squeal on the whole heavy metal riff, which basically destroys Eddie Riggs' soul, metaphorically, because this is not the sort of heavy metal he grew up. He didn't want to make a bunch of teens look good talking about, you know, girlfriends and everything in heavy metal. He wanted the whole classic thing with the demons and the hellish imagery and all the, you know, bones and skulls and everything. But, you know, he stands by it because he's a pretty damn decent guy. Then he realizes that, wait a sec, one of the performers of the concert is actually doing something incredibly reckless, stupid and dangerous with some of the scenery that he's set up beforehand to get the thing going. And so, as opposed to let him leave his inevitable fate, Riggs jumps out and does absolutely everything he can to save him. Without going into too much detail, and because I don't understand it himself, he kind of saves it. It starts a chain reaction, and suddenly it somehow invokes some satanic ritual, of which I have no idea or fully understand. And essentially a demon pops up who completely blows the head off all the teen band members and then transports Eddie Riggs to this hellish, satanic, but also really, really awesome looking landscape, where suddenly he's basically in this world that's effectively inspired by heavy metal album covers. So you got everything. You got gigantic symbols, you got great big open roads, you got, you know, you got burnt lands and great mountains, and at one point you even see this gigantic causeway going off into the distance that's just filled with gigantic speakers just throwing out whole volumes. So it's just a really strong visual impression of the world. I mean, I almost think it could have gone a bit further, but it's still pretty awesome. I mean, like, one of the parts is even this great big highway and stuff, and it's... So he finds himself, and he actually settles in pretty damn quickly. I think at one point that someone says, "Don't you want to get back to your home world?" And then he goes, "Eh," and then just continues on, pretty much. So that's the sort of character you're dealing with. He suddenly finds his guitar can now, instead of just play music, because of course he's got his flying V guitar on him the whole time, instead of just playing music, can suddenly launch devastating attacks against his opponent. He also gets his hand on a battle axe. He finds out that his guitar can also summon this really cool hot rod that can drive him anywhere. And then he also finds out that apparently there's this whole resistance fight going on between, you know, a bunch of freedom fighters going up against this great big evil tyrannic thing, and suddenly he's figuring, you know, okay, this is, I'm going to go with this. And basically, he jumps in and tries to help the freedom fighters because, you know, these guys are awesome and everything's going well. So that's how the game starts and continues a large part. Eddie just doing everything he can to help all these freedom fighters go against the evil presence. And in the meantime, just dealing with so much rock coming from pretty much all directions, whether you've got a great array of licensed rock songs that are playing out of the speakers of the hot rod he drives away in, or just seeing elements in the scenery, and even some of the, one of the minor enemies in the game you have to fight, just basically has this gigantic thing of hair, and he apparently flies around using his hair, and I think he's meant to represent glam rock, so you know, you're true rock and you're fighting against glam rock. Like I said, I'm not that familiar, but that's where it is. So just a great story of freedom fighters and everything else, but I'll play the next song. Title of that track was Ruins. It was composed by Peter McConnell, like I said, for Brutal Legend by Double Fine Productions. By the way, just a quick word about Peter McConnell, because obviously he's composing all this music. Brutal Legend, like I said, has a ton of licensed tracks. It has basically been Tim Schafer going around just trying to getting advice to get the definitive collection of rock music that would make the soundtrack of the game. But because of my policy on licensed music, I'm not playing any of the licensed music on this thing, but I am playing the original soundtrack composed by Peter McConnell. He worked in LucasArts, so that's obviously where he met Tim Schafer. And he's composed a lot of great LucasArts games, some of the Monkey Island Monkey Island games as well. He didn't make the Monkey Island theme, though. That was Tim Land, as I think I played his music on the first episode of that show, of this show, incidentally. But he also made a lot of music for Star Wars TIE Fighters, and then did work for other companies, such as the Sly Cooper series. And, of course, for various Double Fine games, such as, of course, Brutal Legend and Costume Quest. So he's American, and he makes some damn good music. I like how he manages to cover a lot of different genres, all right. So in terms of going back to Brutal Legend, I have this thing with Double Fine games where they have brilliant concepts and ideas for games, but the gameplay always comes across as slightly, well, let's just say they're not experts when it comes to gameplay. And it pains me to say that, because Double Fine Productions, like I said, they make great games. They're really trying to be innovative, create creative stuff, new ideas, but they're just not good when it comes to gameplay mechanics, and they're more likely just to take inspiration from other games or well-established mechanics rather than really try to go ahead and keep tuning the gameplay mechanics. And this game is an interesting example of that. It plays a lot like a third-person action-adventure open-world sandbox game. I mean, you've got a great big world to walk around in. You can walk, you summon a car, you drive. You've got an axe where you can... You've got a viewpoint of behind your character of Eddie Riggs as you move him, jump him, control him, slash things with your axe. There are times when you go into lairs or deal with enemies, and then you can pick off certain enemies at further distance by using your guitar to make them be struck by lightning. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff with this game. Honestly, Double Fine is awesome when it comes to just visuals, environment, atmosphere, so many other things. But the funny thing about Brutal Legend, and this is kind of something I wasn't sure about, is that all this stuff like driving around, action shooting, and you know, and there are times you can even get a couple of different people to help you out. I wasn't sure whether this was all the focus of the game, or whether this was all meant to be training for what's actually a big section of the game, which are called these stage battles. These stage battles are pretty awesome and big. Basically, you're the good guy and there's a bad guy. You've got a stage at one end of the field and the bad guy is a stage at the other end of the field. Between the two of you are basically what look like geezers of some kind, but they shoot out these fans. And if you build merchandise booths on top of these geezer things, then it basically means that you harvest the fans so that you get more money and you're helped to be financed. So this is good. And the more resources of these fans you have captured by these resource booths, it means that you're able to get more performers. And which basically means there's all these different people. One of them are like these guys that drive around and they kind of heal everyone, and then they're the headbangers that bob their heads, and then you've got these chicks that like shoot bolts and stuff. And I think they're all like meant to be a reference to various people in the heavy metal music scene. But the thing is, when you summon them, and you can only summon them if you've got the resources from the booths, they come out of the stage, and then what happens is that you can direct them, you know, you can either direct them as a large group or select a couple of them and direct them in certain places to either attack your opponent's merch booths or attack your opponent's troops, which are also heading towards you, or attack the opponent's stage directly. And the objective, it's kind of like a war game, you gather resources to build your troops and get them to attack your enemy's fort while the enemy tries to do the same to you. Now, if this sounds familiar, that's because this is in a whole different genre of video games called the real-time strategy genre, which popularized by games, kind of started by games such as Doom 2, but also popularized by games such as the Command & Conquer series and Red Alert, and Command & Conquer Red Alert. So it's a lot. This took a lot of people by surprise, especially since the demo which people played, you know, downloaded the demo and played it, the demo stopped before they reached this part. So suddenly people were surprised, wait a sec, this is a whole game where we command troops and stuff. But it's kind of like that and it kind of isn't. The great thing is that you can join in on the battle. You can suddenly cooperate with a couple of your troops to make devastating attacks against the enemy. You can do all this sort of stuff as the game is progressing. And of course, the big part of the game, you can go online and challenge other people to these sort of stage battles. So it's all pretty good still. But it's all bright and colourful. And I think now I'll play the next track. We'll be right back. And that was Rescue from the Sea of Tears, also from Brutal Legend by Double Fine Productions and composed by Peter McConnell, like pretty much all the songs that I'm playing for this episode of the show. Yeah, I'm devoting an entire episode just to talk about this, but when there's good music involved and some interesting things to talk about, I always think it's worth it, even though I don't do it that often. Okay, so the title Rescue from the Sea of Tears, that's kind of like referring to something in the game. Let me just say that there is a Sea of Tears in the game. There's honestly a couple of different factions that you fight off again. One is like the Tainted Coil, which seems more like a goth variation of it and everything. And like I said, there's a lot of like stage battles where you're going up and trying to attack your enemies and great big epic concert stuff, and that's all pretty much fun. I went to the multi... this might be spoiling something, but I don't regret it because it is awesome. Like I said, you can participate in, you know, your guitar can do a couple of like sudden combos, like almost like spells or something that causes something awesome to happen. And when I went into a multiplayer game, I realized one of your spells can actually cause a blimp to crash on stage. So, you know, hopefully wiping out the enemies and everything, but that's just awesome, in my opinion. I meant to say that, like I said, if you're into rock music, you'll like this game because there's so much stuff. And even if you're not into rock music, like kind of I am, I mean, I like all music, I just don't desperately dive into it, then it's still good because, you know, it kind of gives you a better understanding of the whole area and it's a bit of fun. And besides, there's a great sense of humor. Double Fine have a great sense of humor with this game. And so sort of like the dialogue and the fun and everything is a lot of good things. Of course, the humor in the game would be good because not only do you have Double Fine Productions, which, you know, tended to focus on humor a lot better than other game development companies, but the lead character of Eddie Riggs, the roadie, is voiced by Jack Black. So that's pretty odd. Jack Black, who, you know, talk about things, that whole projects that are express a love of rock music. I mean, Jack Black made School of Rock. He's been in Tenacious D himself. There's just so much. He has just so much to offer, both in enthusiasm for the project and just also because he's a good comedian that knows how to deliver his lines and everything. He's just got a good energy to him, and it comes across pretty well in the game. And of course, there's a bunch of a huge amount of other cameos, and they're so huge, I really actually don't recognize most of them. I recognize Ozzy Osbourne, yeah, so at least I got him. That's pretty cool. Came in like a... he's basically a guy who's apparently a being of the underworld, and you go to him whenever you want to upgrade your hot rod or your axe or your guitar strings, because he can apparently do these things. And apparently, in order to your currency for upgrading these things is to appease the gods of metal by doing pretty awesome things. So there's always that. And I think my other friends actually pointed out when the other member of Tenacious D showed up in the game. So yeah, that's good. And with that, I think it's time to go. I mean, Brutal Legend is just a great love letter to rock music. Like I said, there are other games that deal with rock music. The Guitar Hero series, of course, is the obvious selection. But there was also actually an interesting game called Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll that was almost but never released in the mid-90s. And maybe I might talk about that in a future show. It's also a bummer that I'm not playing any of the 107 heavy metal tracks that the game licensed for use in the game, because there is a good selection, and like I said, they really, really wanted to make sure that they chose the right song. So there were some really, really good songs by the likes of Motorhead, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Rob Zombie, Megadeth, Cradle of Filth, and of course, Tenacious D, since of course one of the guys of Tenacious D is voicing the game. It's unlikely an album of those songs will ever be created, but if you want to construct your own album, you can get the songs on song list, at least, on the Wikipedia page for Brutal Legend. So have a look yourself and hopefully good luck with it. So I'll leave you guys and end on the track called The End, and it is from the same composer and the same video game as all the other songs I've played on the show so far. So I hope you've enjoyed this look at this great game. You can follow us on Twitter at BitNoteFM. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed yourself, and rock on. We'll be right back.
Thank you.